It's time once again for another episode of All That's Jazz, the podcast that explores everything in the world of jazz. And here now is your host, Alan Scott.
I know I'd go from rags to riches if you would only say you care. And though my pocket may be empty,
for the purposes of today's episode, I will exercise poetic license to call this a rags-to-riches story or the tale of the accidental publicist. The central character in this saga is a Berkeley grad, a drummer, music engineer, and freelance writer who a number of years ago found himself out of work and broke. His name is Chris DiGirolamo. In this episode, he tells me of how 18 years ago, he received an unexpected phone call from a music artist, which turned out to be a call that changed his life and became the accidental beginning of a successful publicity agency named Two for the Show Media. When I spoke with Chris recently, he was in his office, which has a wall adorned with framed certificates reflecting 28 Grammy nominations and 2 Grammy winners from the projects he worked on with clients. Over the years, he has collaborated with a rather impressive list of clients, including some of the top names in the music business, such as Jane Bunnett, Peter Erskine, Ellie DeGibri, Wayne Escoffrey, Stephen Fifke, Taj Mahal, and Cindy Blackman Santana, who offers this testimonial about DiGirolamo.
Working with Chris has been amazing. His work ethic is unparalleled, as well is his desire and his tenacity to get things done. I love that he keeps all of his artists informed, and at every turn, every step of the way, he lets you know what's going on. So you don't ever have a blind eye about what he's doing with and for your career. If you're looking for some five-star PR, I think that's the way to go.
Here now is my conversation with that impresario, accidental and certainly successful publicist, Chris DiGirolamo. I had you come to my attention by an email that you sent to us from Two for the Show Media, and in it, it was describing your 18th anniversary. And yes, within that context, it said that your agency was essentially born by accident.
Absolutely by accident. And I will say, if someone told me this, it's a good story. You know, it was 2006, probably about, I could give you the exact time, but right at the end of January of 2006. And I say this as honestly as I can, it was not a great time. I can't even tell you, because I've always worked, you know what I mean? But I was out of work, and I kind of don't remember the circumstance of what it was. I do remember it being some of the economic stuff at the time, and whatever it be, it was just, I wasn't in a good place. You know, I was looking for work. I was kind of in that, what do you want to do now? From the time I left Berkeley, you know, I'm a drummer and I went to Berkeley. And when I left Berkeley early, we couldn't afford it, but we got worked out okay. but, you know, whatever it was, from that point to that point, it was always music, you know? So at this point, it was kind of saying like, am I going to do something else? You know? And this is exactly how it occurred. There was a magazine on Long Island, distributed on a big line on Long Island, that was here for a long time and really supported the music community on Long Island. And it was called simply The Music Paper. And it was, you know how we know magazines, Alan, but it was almost where the paper was... you know, how do you say, maybe 18 inches long, you know, it was like a big magazine, but it was really based out of Long Island. And it was run by this guy named Bill, who was just, he passed, but he's an incredible man. And my drum teacher, it's so crazy when you look at the, you know, the line. I took lessons with Frank Marino, who was a big odd time signature drummer teacher type of thing at the time. And he had a column in the music paper. And I would look at this column every month because he would always give some sort of really cool hip pattern. And, you know, at the time I was very into Bill Bruford and Yes and all of that. So he was perfect. So I called him and we started lessons and we studied together for about 2 years. And then one day he called me out of the blue and said, I got an offer for you. You want to accept? And I said, what do you mean? He said, I don't have time to do this column anymore. Do you want to do it? I said, what do you mean? He said, the drum column, I can't do it. I just don't have the time and you can do this. So I said, oh my God, I flew it. So, you know, no internet at the time. So any sort of outreach like that on that level was big, you know, because we had nothing. Mm-hmm. So I took the column. I did it for about a year and a half. No, I did it for maybe it was about 2 years in, probably about 2 years in. And it was during this period. It was right at January 31st, February 1st. And I was sitting home and literally sending out resumes. I didn't know what to do. And the phone rang. And a guy got on the phone and he said to me, hi, can I speak with Chris? And I said, this is him. And he said, Chris, you came recommended to me from a friend of mine as a publicist. You are a publicist, correct? And I'm not kidding, Alan. I paused for about 6-7 seconds and I went, you need a job. <You know? laughs> And I said, yes. And here we are 18 years later. But the funny part of that story, and it really is at this point, I say funny. He said, oh, okay. And what had happened was somebody mistook Chris as a writer and publicist. Like there was a confusion. Like I think they thought because I did columns, I was a publicist. Hmm. So that wasn't the case. So when he said this to me, I said, yes, I had to. I would, you know, like what was the worst thing? You know, if I failed, I failed, I'd never do it again. But I had to do it. And so we spoke. He told me about this. He's giving me information that I honestly, Alan, I have no idea what he was talking about. I did do a good job after the fact. I learned, you know, but we got off the phone and I went, oh no, I got it. Like, oh my God, you know, I'm in this now. I went up, I was in Queens where I grew up, and I went to the Barnes and Noble and I bought, no kidding, Publicity for Dummies. This is true. I know, and it fit the term perfectly because you know that's me. And I came home. I looked it over. I also have a colleague of mine who I've been good friends with for 20 years. Who you've probably come in contact with, Jason Byrne. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know Red Cat. And you know, Jason really he saw what was happening with this, and he said here, and he helped me with everything. He got two for the show media. Exists because of Jason Byrne from Red Cat Publicity and this mistake.
Wow.
You know, like the mistake happened or the error in this. And then he really built the boat for me and gave it to me and said, go. It's got some holes in it. You got to fix it, but go. And we still have that relationship. And the anniversary is Valentine's Day. And the reason I picked Valentine's Day was the person that called me was Lyle Atkinson. And Lyle is not known to a lot of people. You know, you got to know jazz to know Lyle. And I didn't know at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was a big jazz guy. Lyle played with Nina Simone. He was a studio, but he was a phenomenal guy. And a phenomenal player. And the first recording that I ever did for Two for the Show Media, Alan, and this is, if you could imagine this, it was called Bass Ensemble, and it was 8 acoustic basses.
Wow.
Playing at the same time, you know, like in a coordinated composition.
1, 2.
Uh-uh. that was my first order of pitching. Like, here you go, kid. You know? So, but anyway, the reason I, like I said about Valentine's Day, was he wanted to meet, and I said, okay, let's pick February 14th. And I went to the city to meet him, and he said, I'm not taking the train in, I'll meet you in the car. And I'm in front of the Madison Square Garden when you get out, you know, so anyway, we're in the car. I find him, you know, we're in the car. So my clearest memory of the key actually turning here, you know, with this business and it moving, was Valentine's Day when I got my first check in 2006. He gave me a check in the car and I went, all right, we're in business.
Now that you had the business established, Chris, I have to ask you, what about your name for the business, Two for the Show Media?
Two for the Show Media came from even a more bizarre story. I didn't have a name for anything at the time, and a person called me, the second client, and said, what's the name of your company? And I have no idea why this came to me. My best friend growing up, and we're still friends from five, his dad always used to race with us. Like, he would bring us in the driveway and race to the end of the driveway running, you know. And he would say, put your hands on the door. And he would go, one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four to go, you know, and we would race. I have no idea why Two for the Show came into my head. The first thing that it makes sense to is that when media wants to go to a show and you're giving them the review tickets, it's two for the show, not it's always
right, you know, plus. Exactly.
So it made sense, but I have no idea, Alan, why that came in. And she said to me, what's the name of the company? And I went, Two for the Show Media. So it really all a mistake, you know.
Wow.
And it just happened by someone and making the wrong call.
So why hasn't this been a made for TV movie?
Well, if you want to be my publicist. No, look, that's the one thing I had mentioned to you, as I said, you know, over the last year and a half, I've shared it, and it really has nothing to do with ego in any way. And I'll give you a line that I was told when I was younger by a relative, and it hit me really hard. And this relative used to say, Chris, always remember, you were not that important. And I would say, well, what do you mean? And he'd say, is the president of the United States important to what we have as a country? And I'd say, yeah. He'd say, well, if the president of the United States had a heart attack right now, he could be replaced in 20 minutes, and so can you.
That's great wisdom from your relative. That does make sense.
I just noticed this the other day. You know, I started in 2006, and the other aspect of this, and I don't really share because it's unimportant at this point, but really, when I talk about that phone call that came in, I had, I'm not kidding, 36 cents in the bank, no job, and no car. And 2 years later, just in doing this, you know, blinders and straightforward and hard work, you know, one of these Grammys here is from 2008. And, you know, I mean, if you would have ever told me in January 5th, 2006, Chris, in 2 years, you're going to be the publicist, which I didn't even know what the damn word meant. You're going to be the publicist for a project that's going to be Grammy nominated, and you're going to be at the Grammys. I would have said, you're out of your mind. I mean, what are you talking about? And that's what happened. And look where we've come. And you know what I mean?
Sure.
It's really blessed beyond belief, Alan, in just... I say this, you know, I didn't write any of these songs and on these certificates, but I call them trust certificates. That's what I call them. If these people can trust me, and I think you saw that in the testimonial videos, which is my point. People can write anything. Anybody could write it. But if you see someone and they show that emotion towards what it was to work with that person, that publicist, that manager, it's totally different.
Right. And I would think the hallmark of any good publicist, especially when it comes to the relationship with your clients, And the success of any of the projects that you take on is a matter of trust between your client and yourself. It's all about the trust.
I have a line and everybody makes fun of me. And let's see if you're going to go there too, but I think you get it. When an artist, especially in today's post-pandemic, which I mean inundation of music, which I know you know, if an artist can take an idea of making a recording and go, you know, it usually starts with that. And then they, whatever a year later, whatever it be, first of all, huge cost, you know, always a huge cost. It's just, there's a cost to do it. The first thing that I had come into play with, and I don't even know why this hit me when I started, is I said, okay, like, remember, as I said earlier, I said, you know, okay, you're in. I don't know what we're in, but we're in and we have a job. And I remember, and also keep in mind, you know, I'd been playing drums since I'm five. I've been in the music, just around music bands since I'm 11. You know, my first Grateful Dead show, I was 11 years old. I saw them 280 times to 300 times. I just always had music. And always. So it wasn't anything, you know. So when this hit, I said to myself, What are these people missing? Because now they're independent. If you recall, Alan, all the labels were going down. Remember this with Napster and all this stuff. So everybody thought like music was going to end, you know. And in the long run, yes, we have a bigger challenge and, you know, and more mountains and stuff to dive through because of everybody being an independent. But these, and I say this respectfully to the generation, they have no idea how good they have it. We couldn't get anyone to listen to our music when I was in Berkeley. I used to walk around with a cassette in my pocket. You know what I mean? It was ridiculous. So we have such a different thing. So I knew enough about to get to the point of saying, where is that trust? What are you going to give them? Because this is the music business. And the first thing that comes up, especially in every relative I had, was you can't make, you know, a good dollar there. It's a very bad business. You know, and in some cases it was. So I said, do what you say you're going to do. Be honest on every level with them. No, we did not get it. Don't BS them. You know what I mean? Let them know, you know, what the vibe is and work as hard as you possibly can. And the third one was always hard, is easy as possible because I love to come to work every day. And I know that might sound nuts. I get up, my feet hit the floor. I can't wait to get to the desk every day.
So I have a two-part question for you. First off, what do you feel is probably your most significant or most proud of accomplishment since you've been a publicist?
It's hard not to say Grammys, you know what I mean? But in the long run, I also know that the Grammys are one box in the crossword puzzle. They do not, again, I'm not downplaying, it's a great thing. It really is. But I can tell you each time I won, these are nominations and two winners. Each time I've won, I realized for 2 days, you know, the pomp and circumstance. And on the third day, you're back to work and nobody even remembers what happened. So it's that it for me to go from 37 cents in 2006, January, to the Grammy Awards for a recording I was hired for and did the work out of the knowledge of a dummy's book. I would say that was really that moment, because it just seemed bizarre. It was like unreal, you know, come on, I'm going to be, you know, I would say that, I mean, of course this stuff, but I also think that if I had to give it a two-part, even though you didn't get to the second part, but two-part answer would say, I've been honest with these people for this long.
And I think that means a lot. It would mean a lot to me personally if you were honest with me. And speaking of that, the second part of the question is, where do you either draw the line or where do you have to be brutally honest with someone that sends you an audio file or sends you some material saying, I need some help with this project? And in your heart of hearts, you know, wow, man, this guy is going nowhere. This woman, she's not really meant for this business. And I'm sure you've had to address that at some point, because everyone thinks once they're a musician, because they got the guitar case or the drumsticks, that I'm it's my destiny. Well, I hate to tell you this, but it ain't.
Well, I don't say it like that, Al.
No.
No. I it's a great question, and really it's great and a detriment is that everybody has the stage now, and we didn't have that. You know what I mean? We just didn't have it. I mean, you can feel, because you have a Facebook page with videos of you playing guitar, that you are famous, and you're not, basically it's really, and I mean this, it's not a dishonest statement. It really comes as simple as this. Thank you for sending me the project that you're doing and give detail, because I do listen to everything, and just will say, this is not going to click with the media core that I generally have connections with. And if I took this on, it wouldn't be fair to you. You know what I mean? You need somebody that can connect with this. But that's really an honest statement. It's not going to, if I send this out and you pay me, you're going to be unhappy. So I don't want to do it.
Yeah. That's hard. I mean, and you want to help people, and you want to say, well, maybe you just haven't gotten to that level yet, or you haven't reached that level of expertise, or maybe the guitar really isn't your strong suit. Have you tried drumming?
Listen, these are some of the things that are just part of the independent market, but the independent market has given us some incredible things too. So it's things we would have never heard about.
As a receiver of your services, one thing I will tell you, and I'm curious as to what your take is on it. One of the things as a consumer that gets my attention is when there's a backstory.
Of course.
There's a ton of musicians or a ton of pianists or vocalists, etc., but what separates them out, or even why you and I are talking today? The fact is that I saw this story about your being in a desperate situation, and not only financially, but just professionally, wondering, what the hell am I going to do? But what a great story it was.
Yeah, well, everybody doesn't have a story, and that's sometimes the case. And the other side of it too, Alan, is most people don't realize they have a story. There are people that have said to me exactly what you just said, and I kind of go, what do you mean? I needed to get a job. I did this. It doesn't always reflect. We don't see it as that. I worked with Donnie McCaslin Donnie and I did 4 records together. We also went to Berkeley together. And when I sat with Don, I can tell you outright, the man does not have a story. He is, we would talk and he would say, I lived in Santa Cruz. I played a lot of basketball every day. And one day I was in jazz band because I had to take jazz band. And the guy said, what do you want to play? And I said, I don't really care. And he gave me a tenor. He said, I think the story was he gave me something else and it was broke or something. I think that was Donnie. Don't quote me on that. But and then, there it was. And his whole life changed. And he's so nice and so loving and so kind that's his journey of, that's him. I'm sorry. That's him. And there's no story. It was the music. That's it. And there are some people that come to the plate with a story that makes you go, oh my God, So it varies, but you got to remember, I say this all the time, Alan, as I say, so does that mean, and I'm not saying this to you, but does it mean that because if you don't have a story, but you have an incredible recording, it shouldn't be heard? So there's 2 sides to it. And that's another job we have to play. Making sure, if somebody's brand new, somebody said this to me the other day, it's my most common line. Chris, I'm going to get into this, but I'm a little afraid of one thing. What's that? Nobody knows who I am. And I said, nobody knew who anybody was at one time. It's just this, it's your head. You got to get into that side of it. So there's so many aspects to it, Alan. And it also applies to every person, every personality, every way that they did things.
Well, and there's a lot to it. And I think that maybe some of our listeners should know from you, for example, what it is that you do in terms of help with a client. There's a full package of things that really need attention. It's everything from not only the publicity, but while you're out there touring, maybe the way you look, or maybe the way you present yourself. There's so many things that I think are overlooked.
More than overlooked, Alan. Everything you just said is spot on. That is basically the list, the general list of things that are kind of take a back seat. My job is basically to get them in front of and as much as we can. But because I really have seen it all, and there's so much more to see, don't get me wrong, but I mean, I've had an incredible run. I've just been supremely blessed. And I know that word always has a little dryness to it in a way, and also I think I've put myself on the football field, meaning like, you know, if you're on the football field, you're eventually going to get hit. You know, I just always put myself there, you know, because I loved it.
So go ahead and do a little name dropping for us. Who are some of your clients, by the way?
Well, right now, just to go off the top of my head, we've worked with Cindy Blackman, Santana, we worked with her when she was Cindy Blackman. I think I've been with Cindy since 2008, on and off based on project, but we've always worked together. Lenny White is a client. We've just had so many amazing, God, I mean, if I go down the line to drummers, we're working with Larnell Lewis right now, who's the drummer for Snarky Puppy. It's just been, I just tried Simon Phillips. If I go through the list of Peter Erskine, we worked with for 12 years, literally, I could give you a list just of drummers, Alan, and we would be over 30. Bill Stewart, Daphnis Prieto. Daphnis and I have been together for 16 years. He was one of my very first clients. In 16 years of the 18, we have never, ever had a bad word, ever. Even in the worst of circumstance with something that went wrong or something, ever. So, you know, these people, like, that's what you want to work with. That's why you want to come to work, you know. But, you know, Arturo Farrell, last year we got to work with Taj Mahal. He did a jazz record and I got the PR for that, which was great. Bobby Sanabria, we just had his Grammy. I mean, I could go on and on. It's like, it really is. I say the list sometimes and I go like, wait a minute, these people trusted me with their music. Like, it blows me away. It really does, Alan. I think I'm the only one that really feels that thing, but that's all that's important. But just, and you know what's cool too, is a lot of these, you know what's great is seeing some of these younger people that I've worked with, who are now the trumpet player for Bruce Springsteen, or are now the trumpet player for Michael Bublé, or now, like, those are the things that, you know, kind of also get you, where you say, right, no, I wasn't the entire reason, but I was part of it, you know, and look where he is. And that's all we want. Like, there you go. We win. You know, we had 3 4-star reviews in yesterday's May issue of Downbeat. Now, I didn't write the music. I didn't write the article. I just presented these projects as they were with what I thought were strong points of the projects. And here we are, we had 3 artists who are pretty young and all of them got 4-star reviews, and no, their life is not going to flip, but it will change a little bit if they use it properly. So that's the gift.
Everybody starts somewhere.
Yeah.
That's not to downplay or diminish the value of some of your other clients whose names are not on the A-list. The point of the matter is, these are people with talent. These are people that should be heard and have something to contribute to the world of music.
Yeah, and it's, you know, every musician, and I this helped me as a drummer, because when I went to Berkeley and I realized guys were doing with 2 drumsticks that I couldn't do if I had 4 arms, you know, you get discouraged real quick. I always say this, everybody is their own signature. You know what I mean? Especially now in today's world, I always compare the publicist line to, I say, we're all like football coaches. We all want the Super Bowl for you, I mean that. We all have a different approach than the other person. And that's why certain people get hired and switched. And I hate, we don't get fired really. It's just, I always say it's just tries on a different dress with a different coach. Like it's a different, and I get it, you know? So it's a very wide open thing. And also you have to accept that too. Cause in the beginning, I have to tell you, you know, especially like within the first 3 years, especially after the Grammy, if I had a client and then I found out they went somewhere else, you'd go, what the hell's going on here? And I have to tell you, Alan, it's not about the money. Because if every client paid me in full at the beginning, it'd be gone in 5 days. We're not making it, you know, there's no boatload of money. The bills are being paid. But I used to take that so personally. And you can't. People try on a different, it's like guys win Super Bowls and the next year, 2 years later, they don't have a job because the owner says, you know what? You did a great thing for us. I just want to try something different.
Yeah.
So I don't take it personally anymore.
Obviously, I would say, Chris, for you, this has been an absolutely wonderful choice in life that you have made and the path that you have chosen since 2006, when there was only a few pennies in Piggy.
And I didn't even have Piggy, Alan. No, he broke.
The piggy bank was broken.
Yeah.
So what comes next? What do you think is the future of publicists and the business itself?
Well, I'll tell you right off, we've gone completely digital here since the pandemic. The difference in it, and I know it's tough for some people with, well, here's the line. We need a CD. No, you don't. You just don't want a deal. That's the difference. Or you don't need a CD. You want a CD.
Right.
So, and that drives me a little nuts in the changeover. But I'll tell you the quickest way. We used to ask our client for 300 CDs, which they had to pay for. In most cases, they had to have a minimum order of 1,000. So half of them are still sitting in the garage. We would then have to have them pay the postage, which at this point, if we did that, is $1,600 in the shredder. $1,600. $1,600 bills in the shredder. There's no. And then you have, you know, envelopes, whatever. Bottom line is, in pre-pandemic, before we made the change, it cost $2,000 to enter the PR gate. And you had no idea what was going to happen. And you couldn't even get the information from the publicist that much because we couldn't get the information. You know, you would wait and wait. Every day was, you know, you're going to hear something and you'd follow up and do the pitching. It was always cryptic. You never had a solid answer on everything, you know. Now we're able to service over 3,600 media people worldwide, digitally, for free. And we have six times in a 12-week campaign, by the way. It's not just once, it's six times. Reason being is we're always picking up new writers. There are new writers in a mail of five that have not heard it yet. So it's a system. And the best part, Alan, is the client knows every writer that engaged into the files. We know every writer that streamed it for more than 20 minutes. What did they listen to it on? You know, so an average 24-hour read is, let's say, 3,600. It's not the exact number, but 3,600 people are getting it in their mailbox. 800 to 900 open it. And then you get the status of anywhere from 18 to 40 engaged in checking out what you sent them. And you have that information and you have the ability to print that list. So the next morning that artist gets up and I send them a list and say, hey man, look at the 20 people that totally checked out our EPK last night. They looked in extensively and then downloaded it. They're interested. Doesn't mean they're going to write, but they're interested. So with the new setup, we have a complete list of targeted writers that we know are interested. We used to go after the 3,600 and not know a thing. You know, the information I give these people in 24 hours, Alan, used to take 5 weeks, 4.5 to 5 weeks.
Hmm.
24 hours.
Whether it's a budding musician or a curious listener, how can they learn more about you and your business?
Well, you can visit our new website, which is our old website was the epitome of it. It was on the cover of embarrassing websites weekly. just it's two for the show media, all letters, TWOFORTHESHOWMEDIA.com. And on there, we have, there's people can see press samples, they can see the testimonial videos as well. And, you know, we're reachable. It's really the whole idea of it was, I always keep this in my pipe, man, is, man, what a life this has given me. And what I mean by that is a freedom, even though I work hard and I work a lot, a freedom that no adult could ever be. I can't even tell you how amazing it is, where I can take my kids to school. I can see my daughters every day. I can be home when they get home. I can be part of things because I can work at night and shift things and do things because of time difference. I mean, it's just given me everything. That's what it really has given me.
And what a pleasure it has been to share the joy of your life and your success in your business with our listeners. And we'd like to thank you for being our guest on All That's Jazz.
Alan, anytime. And please just promise me one thing. Tell me that you don't need a CD. No.
I don't. No. Chris, thanks.
All right, brother. Bye-bye. Take care.
Thanks for listening to this episode of All That's Jazz with publicist Chris DiGirolamo from Two for the Show Media.
We'd like to thank Ben Sedrin for the use of Mr. P's Shuffle as our theme song.
And visit us again next time for another interesting conversation on All That's Jazz.
If you like today's episode, please leave us a 5-star rating on the streaming service you use. All That's Jazz is available on every major streaming app, including Podbean, Apple Podcast, and Spotify, as well as Facebook and online at allthatsjazz.net.